was a heaven of angels from the human race. And this idea of redemption, which is the word I'm just choosing and using tonight, came up a little bit today, probably in that same session. Okay? And we've also this afternoon had, I think, what was an extremely useful and challenging session about the... what's it about? How the infinite clothes itself finitely, choose your words carefully, Julian, for the purpose of communication. Is that right?
Yeah.
Basically. Good. Okay. It came up there again in terms of, purpose of creation and so on, and this idea of redemption. Now, okay, redemption opens up, basically, bearing in mind where David was taking us this afternoon, and that is the danger of working with sacred text, divine revelation, heavenly doctrines, and falling into unhelpful time and space considerations. Okay? And that came over majorly this afternoon. Redemption is basically the idea of our final eternal state. Okay? And the means whereby we actually can be guided or helped towards that final eternal state. Forever. Okay? Now, already that sort of worries me in terms of space and time, because forever is not final abode from then on. That's, temporal way of thinking about it. And place, that's your final place to be, is also spatial, and that's not helping. So it's a fascinating area. We had a what's now called Logopraxis group. It was called Five Steps about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a little longer, 6 years. And we used New Jerusalem and its heavenly doctrine, or the heavenly city. Okay? And there was one lady there who's, pretty sweet and Georgian, and she got shirty over a number of references, particularly at the end of a chapter, where Swedenborg says, I'll give you one quote, I could only find one in the hurry that I had, whatever it is about people developing in the next life and coming to understand this and so on and so on. She stumbled hugely, and I understood why, I think, over quite a number of references in this particular book where Swedenborg says those who have not received a conscience in this world cannot receive one in the other life, so they cannot be saved. Okay? Those who have not received a conscience in the world cannot receive one in the other life, and so they cannot be saved. Now, that sounds very black and white, matter of fact. And that was her stumbling block. And this idea of apparent unredeemability. Okay? And this difference between something that can be formed in this life being all important for something that actually is going to ensue in the next life accordingly. And I mean, Swedenborg says that a number of times about things like, you know, the establishment of our ruling love, if that's familiar to all of you, our life's delight, our primary love, whatever you want to call it, and this idea of redemption and final state, which you can go horribly wrong with if you're not careful in forming views about it with the appearance of space and time and all that. So, okay. What I want to do is just quickly run through and then work towards, David's aware of this already, and maybe one or two others of you are, what I've called a new model of seeing what we're used to hearing as heaven and hell. And I would like you just to think for a moment about the way in which Swedenborg talks about heaven and hell quite openly, almost categorically, as states that are final. Okay? I'm looking at you because I can just imagine you come in and say, no, not quite right, Julian. So feel free anytime. He talks about states of heaven and hell in the minds and hearts and lives of the people who are in those states as being finally final. Okay? That's the surface text. Okay. All right. I'll run through, and I just want to throw this up for a, you know, we've had a long day and we had a big, well, big dinner and all that sort of sleepiness that comes along. So I'll run through, and then I'll introduce my sort of series of models, ending with my new model of how I am currently seeing heaven and hell in a way that I don't feel is bypassing or heretically misunderstanding Swedenborg's real presentation of it. So, you know, where are you going to be? Where do you want to be? Where do you think you'll be light years down the track? You know? That's one way of looking at it. And so on. Okay. Start out with a big quotation and a big statement. My big quotation is your one, Philip. A very, very important starting point in every way to keep coming back to mentally, realisationally and emotionally is that the very whole purpose and final aim of creation is and can only be a heaven of angels from the human race. You know? Don't gloss that. Don't go glib with it. Own it and see that that explains everything that is the divine drive, you know, the intention, the final wished outcome from all divine creation to create a heaven of angels for the human race. Why? I'm not asking, I'm just doing it rhetorically. Why on earth does God need to do that anyway? Okay? Mm-hmm. Big statement of mine, slightly overemphasized for dramatic effect, but it's that I believe at this moment in time that our final redemption stays with us. Okay? I don't look to any other, I do not look to any other source whatsoever to do that for me. I believe that the pivot for that must be me and me alone. When I do that, other factors come into play. Okay? But I cannot look for my salvation, redemption, whatever, outside of myself. Now, you know, I may rethink this down the track. I don't know. I may see the light, I may alter that. But that's where I'm at and have been for quite a while, that if you understand me, I am my own ultimate authority in that sense. Okay. Redemption is the idea that we can eventually find release from all suffering, aberration, discord, and non-being. We can eventually find release from that and be liberated. The Jews, unlike Christianity, which has a pretty well-developed a number of views on heaven and hell as opposing states, the Jews believe that ultimately everybody is going to be redeemed, whoever, whatever. You know, they do not expect anybody to finally, whatever that means, finally be outside of, you know, divine forgiveness and acceptance and inclusion. Okay, the thought came to me, our body dies. Our body actually dies, and we no longer are part with that. And therefore, we lose all physical limitations in that sense. And I'm a great one for seeing that any life process must have a corresponding spiritual process. So if our body dies, does our troubled, misreading reality spirit die, if you follow me, in some way, and therefore we attain complete liberation from spiritual aging, frailty, illness, sickness, you know, in that corresponding way. Are you with me?
Yeah. Infirmity, you know? Spiritual infirmity.
Spiritual infirmity. As our body dies, so does our spirit die to shed that infirmity so that we're actually completely liberated from that. The Catholics, I believe, have the general point of view that when you die, you understand absolutely everything. You come into total realization. I think that's there. Not quite sure about the workings of that. It may be instantaneous, you know. You know. Weird, you know. It just doesn't reflect any kind of sort of corresponding natural thing. If it were to be like that, and that was a kind of redemption, then I would really sort of question God having to drag us through this.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm. If it's, you know, boom, wake up. What was all that about?
Yeah, could have slept through the whole lot.
Thank you.
Last Sunday, I'm
driving you home.
Yeah, by all means, you know, join in and so on. Free and easy. Last Sunday was Father's Day, and I introduced the service with the thought that it says in Isaiah, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, and introduced this idea of pity as a compassion, not a kind of contemptuous pity, but a compassionate pity, And the idea that the Lord must actually want to say to us, sorry, you guys, you know, there's no other way. I've got to drag you through that before we can get anywhere else down the track. Okay? And I pity you for that.
This is the divine suffering.
Yes. And, I'm
suffering.
I'm suffering with you. Sort of all the way, in that sense. Go on, what?
Oh, no, when the divine has an aim and it's not realised, I mean, I'm looking at it from a human perspective, that would be a divine suffering, and we don't live up to what our potentials are. In that sense. It's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
Sorry if I could just say on that on a basic level, though, don't we need our own suffering for transformation, for his purposes as well?
Is well, the word explained, sort of, you know.
I haven't read it.
The word explained, okay, let's parallelise this. The word explained is this level of life, and the arcana is eternal life, in that sort of poetic comparison. But we do need...
We need that first level to build on.
By the way, I went to my psychologist on Monday because I got sick last spring, and they linked me up with Noga Nikolaev. And on Monday I was telling her about this seminar, and she said, are you sort of doing things? And I said... Yeah, she said, what? And I said, well, I'm doing a presentation on... And she's Jewish, a practicing Jew. Mm. I said, I'm doing a presentation on Exodus 24. And she smiled. Would you expect me to know what Exodus 24 is, Julian? So I said, it's where Moses is going up and down the mountain. Ah, okay. I've heard it in Hebrew, but I don't know the story. I thought, that's interesting. Hear it in Hebrew and... I haven't a clue what's going on.
That's a representative church for
you. That's right, go through the motions. I've definitely heard it, Julian. I nearly said, how do you know you've heard that if you've heard it? And then I said, that's one, and I'm doing another session on struggling and breakthrough. Oh, are you? And then I said, I'm doing another session on redemption and the nature of final eternity. And she said, are you? I said, yeah. She said, they're all the same thing, you know. They're all where you're at the moment after your sickness. I thought, comment. You know, all emerging out of where I'm at the moment. Redemption as a word actually comes from a Jewish practice, and it is the buying back of something which once belonged to the purchaser, but which for some reason has come to belong to another. And I quote, Coles fuel voucher, say 4 cents litre, expires 6th of October 2010. Fuel offer not valid for fleet card, Shell card, motor charge or motor press purchases, blah, 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 blah. See in store for fuel terms and conditions. This section of receipt must be surrendered on redemption.
You're taking it with you.
Buyback. Redemption is the original idea of once something that once belonged to me or whoever, but has now become the possession of another, and the work that's involved in buying that back to restore it to me. Mm. Now, you'll know that in Christianity, that came to be inexorably linked with the atonement theory, sacrifice of Jesus, dying on the cross to save us from our sins, to restore us back to God. And I don't particularly want to go into that too much, but that's redemption. I actually see the principle of redemption more spiritually, and I hope I'm on the right track here, mm-hmm. and that is that if I, as a human being, have come into a nature which is taking my ownership away from me to something else, I buy that back when I bring myself into the right love and understanding of the source of my life. Okay? So that's the redemption by another, rather than this rather external and historical sacrifice on the cross, which has a point, but it's complicated. And
does that add something?
Sorry,
does that add something there? Can I add something?
Yes, by all means, do.
Yeah. The what we spoke about in the Arcana today about bring your gold and what have you freely.
Offering.
That's right. I think that might be. Because it's bringing what the Lord has implanted that we have owned, mm-hmm. and now we're bringing it back to the true owner of it, mm-hmm. and that sounds sort of similar mm-hmm. to this idea. Okay. Yeah.
I was thinking of it in terms of the loss of something which we once were the inheritors of, and a redemption requires a payment, therefore there's a cost involved, and the payment has to be made up front in order to retrieve that state, which is our intentional effort and suffering, conscious suffering, of what we have to go through to make it, to free us from that, you know, negative state.
Yes, I missed the beginning of that. Sorry, so start...
That redemption, to yes. me, sounds like something that requires a cost.
A cost.
There is a cost involved, yes. an exchange of money.
Yes.
Or an exchange, a payment.
Yes.
But that payment is what... the effort you make up front,
exactly,
up front payment for the redemption of the state which we inherit. Yes.
It's the work, whatever that is, mm. it's the work and the effort,
yeah.
the positive effort on our part to provide the cost for us to come back into true living.
The six-time journey around Jericho.
The six-time journey around Jericho is the cost. You know? Yeah.
Mm. With this process, there's a promise involved and a sense of delayed gratification. You know, and of course the effort or the payment, you know, associated with that. So. Mm. Very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the whole process of reformation. Regeneration is that redemption,
yes.
redemptive.
Yes.